Okay, so our memhei, Amud Aleph and Shabbos. Continuing the question of Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Yochanan. So his question was, can we define the question a little better? As we left off last time. Chitin shazarim b'karko beitzim shetachas tarnagolas mahu. Ki leisle the Rabbi Shimon muktzo heichad lo dochi yibiyodayim. Heichad dochi yibiyodayim isle lo muktzo. So do we say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from muktzo when you didn't push it away? But here, apparently, you did push it away. Odil Moloshna. Right? Or maybe no. No difference. Yeah, so how was anybody able to formulate it better? Jonah? It's been too long. It's been too long already. It's hard to remember.
A certain kind of thing.
Right. In other words, why is this considered Dechiyah B'Yadayim? What does it mean it's Dechiyah B'Yadayim? As opposed to like the chicken, Tarnagolos will medes the gadol beitzim. According to Rabbi Shimon, you can shecht it on Yantif, right? That's not considered dechiya b'yadayim. So that was his question. I was saying that does Rabbi Shimon still really rely on the idea of a preparation from the gavra? In terms of the gavra, he positively relates to his objects in a certain way. That's part of the hachana. There is some sort of a hachana that is required, even for Rabbi Shimon. But the fact that it exists in an accessible way to the person itself is muhan to the person. The fact that it's true, he calls this his chicken for raising eggs. But in fact, it's no different than any other chicken, and he knows that it's just like a shame that he's giving it, but he's not really removing it from the other uses. So it exists when Shabbos enters, when Yontif enters, it still exists in terms of the gavra. It still exists with all of the utility of a regular chicken. Even though he, in his mind, might call it a legado beitzim, or perus l'schora, or any of those cases, but it still requires some sort of a hachana. But if a person takes an object, and biyodayim, he actually puts it in a situation that removes it from tashmish. So then in terms of him, he has removed all of its hachana. He's removed all of its in terms of the way the gavra relates to it. He is making it an eino muchan. Because if I have a chicken running around in my yard and I call it the gadol beitzim, it's not removing any of its capabilities. I'm not doing anything that negates. I know, even the way it exists now, right now, it's out in the open, and it's accessible for eating, and it's accessible for raising chicks. I just call it raising chicks, or eggs, whichever. But it's not a real removal of any of its utility. But planting it in the ground, that is a maiso that does remove it from utility. It's now in a situation that I'd have to undo something in order to regain its utility. You understand? The chicken that's running around, I call it the gadol beitzim. It exists right now in the same exact way as the gadol beitzim or omedes l'achila. There's no difference in the way that it exists right now. It has all the potentials right now for either one. It's just I'm b'kavana calling it one over the other. So that he doesn't care about. It still is really muhan for all the other activities right now in its present state. But if I put it in the ground already, so now the situation I'm putting it into is a dechiyah. That's why he calls this a dechiyah biyadayim. It is in actuality something that removes the other uses. In the state that you're putting it into, the other uses are not accessible. You'd have to undo it first in order to make the other uses accessible. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's called a dechiyah biyadayim. But that's from the framework of, in terms of having a certain identity of being muchan in some way.
That was his question. Does Rabbi Shimon still agree to the basic idea that there has to be a muchan to the gavra? But normally classifications or designations don't actually change any of its properties of being muchan. It still exists with the potential right now, with the potential for multiple uses. And in that sense, the person is not makzit midaite. Because it's midir chazile, like Rashi says. But if I actually put it in a situation that negates other uses, then he would say it's muksa. Or does Rabbi Shimon not really require anything in terms of how it exists presently, a present readiness to the gavra? Just as long as there's a potential readiness. And so there's a difference between a present readiness and a potential readiness. You see what I'm trying to say? In other words, when the chicken is, if I have peros l'schora, or tarnagolas homedes l'gadol beitzim, so there's nothing really in the situation that makes it not muchan for any other usage. It's just I've already in my classification I've said it's not omed for a certain usage, but in the way that it exists, it's just a matter of shechting it. There's nothing really. There's no preparation that needs to be done in order to use it. It's just a change of my classification. It's just a change of the way I look at it. But so that's not a dechia b'yadayim. You're not really putting it in a situation that removes, by classifying it such, you're not removing any of its potential. You're not removing any of its utility. Any of its actual utility, I should say, not potential. Any of its actual utility. You know what I'm trying to say, Mayor? It exists right now. If I'd say, look, there's a chicken running around in the coop. What is it? You couldn't tell from looking at it or from the particulars of the situation. You couldn't say, well, it has every use, it has a usage of the gadol beitzim, and it has the usage of achila right now. I, in my mind, might have chosen one, but in reality, that doesn't remove any of the usages of the chicken, right? But if it's already legadol, but if it's already, if I planted it in the ground, or I already put it under the chicken in the process of if it's already involved in another process, so in reality now it's already osek in another activity. I have to remove it from what it's involved in order to regain its the utility of something else. I'd have to actually change the situation that it's in, not just changing a determination. I have to change the situation to regain other usages. Right? When I plant it in the ground already, now in the ground it's not omed for achila. It doesn't have the usage for achila anymore. It already is being used in another sense. So that was his question. Do I say that when Rabbi Shimon holds nothing is muktzah? That means that as long as it has its present utility, as long as it exists with the utilities, with usages, it doesn't matter what usage I call it. Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to be positively designated for Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon doesn't, but he still holds there has to be an actuality of its being ready. Right? Or does he not care about that at all? Does he just care about its potential? So it's true in the ground, it's already involved in another thing, but mitzad hacheftza, from the cheftza itself, the cheftza still has potential in other utilities. I'd have to rescue it from the present situation and use it for something else. But in the cheftza, it still has the potential. No, so basically the question is like this. Does Rabbi Shimon still agree somewhat with Rabbi Yehuda that there has to be an actuality when it enters Shabbos? It doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda that it has to be omed for a certain thing, but it just has to have the actuality of that usage. Or is it or is he just saying the furthest limit, that that anything that has the potential for usage, you don't need any muhan really, any muhan in terms of the gavra, in terms of the situation. It just has to be that the heftza has a potential. Any potential in the heftza removes a din of muktza. It really only is muktza when in its own right it has absolutely no usage. As long as it has some possibility, even though it's not a present possibility, it's okay.
Wait, so which side is the like Rabbi Yehuda ben Amos?
The Dechiya B'Yadayim. That's the Dechiya B'Yadayim.
Right.
Because potentially the Zera... Well, I'm still not 100% sure about the right way to put it. But I'm saying, if we can classify the distinction, right? It seems that he holds it needs some sort of a muhan. It still needs a some sort of a readiness. A readiness for the usage that you're going to put it into. As opposed to saying that you'd have to first remove it from something and then be able to use it. That's in terms of, like Jonah was saying, the cheftza. In terms of the cheftza, the wheat has potential, right? In terms of the cheftza, the wheat has potential. But in terms of the situation, in terms of the present situation, it's not a muhan for that. Yeah.
Could you go back and compare it?
No, it has to do with the identity of the cheftza. So the ner, the dichui vis-a-vis Shabbos. So the ner is not definitive in terms of Shabbos, because it's just a temporary situation. So you can't say that when Shabbos enters, the ner itself doesn't exist in terms of Shabbos. He doesn't go by a bein hashmashos. He doesn't look at it at the moment of bein hashmashos. So when Shabbos enters, the ner is kavua as something that is usable. It doesn't go by. When I say muchan or that, I don't mean the muchan like Rabbi Yehuda exactly. I mean to say that in terms of Shabbos it has a certain utility. That's what Tosfos is saying. The difference between the ner and the zera is that by the zrayim, the dicho you're putting it into is a permanent identity. It always is in that dichoy. That is part of its shame already. It's not a temporary situation. It's part of its new definition. When I light the ner, when I make a fire in the ner, that dichoy itself is only temporary. That wasn't his question. His question is, His question is really this: Can I define a cheftza? Does the definition in the cheftza from the dichoy make it muktza for Rabbi Shimon? But it has to be a dichoy that is going to define it. The hadlaka of the ner doesn't define the ner as removed from it's temporary. And the kara is also different. The kos and the kara is different because that's not just that all the potential is really all the potential is taken away. You're putting it in a situation where all the potential is removed. He wants to know where you put it into a situation where the potential still exists, right? But the situation itself deprives it from any other readiness, right? So now, do you relate to it? Do you say that the person relates to it in terms of its readiness? In other words, when the guy looks at the chicken, he still thinks like the Rashi, like the Balamor says, he still thinks in the back of his mind. It still relates to him. Let's put it this way: he still relates to the chicken as just an object in his house, with multiple usages. He's saying right now, I'm gonna use it essentially for this, right? But basically, it's a fluid. It is a fluid situation. There's nothing different in the chicken from moment to moment, whether he says it's legal beitzim or medes lachila. It's like a present engagement, and every moment is like its own kvius. There's nothing more to it than his shame, but than the shame he's giving it. But it always basically exists to him with multiple possibilities. And he's basically saying, right now, I'm just concentrating on the main, on this one function of it, the Gadol Beitzim him. But this Rayim in the ground, once he plants the seed in the ground, it no longer exists to him as just an object of many usages. He already in reality fixed one choice. It's a dechia biyadayim. Now he'd have to undo what he did. So that was his question. Is Rabbi Shimon not having muksa because he relates to all the usages that the thing has when Shabbos, Gabi Shabbos? So even though he calls it Legadol Beitzim, but there's no reality to the Legabi Beitzim. Legabi Beitzim exists simultaneously with the potential of being food. And there's nothing in the situation that favors one over the other. It's just a matter of what he's highlighting now. So that we don't say, meaning it's chazile right now as a medes lachila. It's chazile right now as an ochel. So the fact that he calls it legadol beitzim, that's not a haktsah. Because presently it exists with many possibilities. But by the Zerayim, he can't say that anymore. Now there's a real Dechiyah B'Yodayim. Legabi, the entire Shabbos, he's putting it into a situation that its existence is deprived, actually, of a possibility of other usages. So maybe then Rabbi Shimon would hold his muksa. Does it actually require like a present readiness of the possibilities? Or it's even if it doesn't have the present readiness of the possibilities, he doesn't care. He just holds that the only type of, that nothing really, you don't need any idea of mukhan. As long as it has usages, as long as it has uses, it's not muktzah. The only thing that's muktzah is the thing that is not shaykh to Shabbos at all. Or that he is determining is not shaykh to Shabbos at all. But since Lagabi Shabbos, he could still potentially move this thing, it's not a total haktsah.
What would be something that's not Shabbos at all?
Like a big kos of shemen that he lights on fire.
Even though it's possible to kick it out, I'm going to take that into account?
No, when we talk about the possibilities, we talk about the ones that are in his control. In other words, the situation he's putting it into is defined by the possibilities he has to remove it. So we want to really know what situation he's putting it into. So since he can't do anything with the kos and the ka'ara once he lights it, and he expects it to last with all Shabbos, so he is putting it into a situation where it's mufka from Shabbos. Right? But since he can still be metal to the Zerayim, he's not putting it into a situation that deprives it of all of its utility, Legabi Shabbos, of all of its usage, potential uses, Legabi Shabbos. It presently is not in a state that's usable for other things. But in terms of the, so that way I think if you want to think about the case more, the most precise way to think about the case of the chitim and the beitza, is it's a situation, it's an entity, right, that exists in a situation that is deprived of other utilities, but the object mitzad atzmo, still has potential use. Right? Now the question of the interesting thing is that Jonah was asking is about why couldn't Reish Lakish figure this out from the case of what? Or why isn't Sestira to the case of what? Jonah, do you remember what your question was? Muktza Machmas Chesron Kis. Right? Let's take the case of Muktza Machmas Chesron Kis. So what's the case of Muktza Machmas Chesron Kis?
But it still has other uses.
Yeah. Okay, but more basically, I'm sorry. What is the case? Let's all get together on the same. What is the case of
muktzah?
A shechita knife, let's say. Shai, you got a shechita knife?
Yeah.
You use it for other stuff?
Well, it's not. I haven't used it for shechita yet. I don't use it for other stuff.
You don't use it for other stuff. Can you? So. So why don't you say that's just simply a case of like a dechia biyadayim? It's like a dechia biyadayim, but it still is roi for the usages, right? Still is roi for the stuff. So what do you see?
He holds his mukta.
And no, Rabbi Shimon holds his mukta. Rabbi Shimon holds his mukta. Everybody, even Rabbi Shimon agrees to klisha the mukta to mukta machmas chesnerkis.
But he still holds a pirus star
as mukta. Yes.
How does that work?
Okay, so I'm gonna tell you how that works. How does that work?
Because the object itself is just.
So let me define Yehuda's perplexity. Perplexion?
Yeah.
No, not perplexion. That's not a word.
Well, yeah, there's definitely
the perplexity is a word.
There's a difference between complexity and complexion, so yeah. There should be a difference between perplexity and perplexion. But anyway, so let's understand his difficulty. Right? What is bothering him? What's the premise of his question? Question is, when I said that Rabbi Shimon is mode to mukta machmas chesron kiss, some people were surprised. Look, it's a knife. Shai, I know you love the sheath knife, but let's face it, it's a knife. Right? It's a knife. Can't say it's not roy to cut bread. Right? Certainly is roy for that. So it's all in your mind. You don't want to use it for other stuff. So why isn't that like chitam lizra? So what's the answer? What's the question based? What's the premise of this question? That it can be used for other things. And that it's just up to, it's just my mind. Apparently the halacha takes chesron and kiss as a reality. That is its own category. It's not chitim in the ground. Chitim in the ground is a situational identity. Right? Mukta, a shechita knife is not a situational thing. It's not like a regular knife in a high-class situation. It's a different entity. It's a different tool. It's a different tool. It's not a regular knife with an attitude. It's a different tool, right? It's not just your feelings about it. You don't like to use it for other stuff. No, it's a reality. It's an accepted category that it's a unique implement. And it's not considered roi for anything else. In reality, we don't consider it roi for anything else. Just like by the mias, we had that same problem. We were thinking that the mias is just a psychological thing. What do you mean? It's roi for? Of course, it's roi for other stuff. It's just psychologically, it grosses you out. No, halacha takes that to be a reality. That means that really, it's not roi for anything else. It's considered useless for anything else. We don't say. What do you mean useless? You could use it. You don't like to drink from cups that look black and smell like naft.
So you can't make something chesron and kiss? Like something of
no.
Like
no.
Value? Like that doesn't
kiss? That would be like if you personally feel that way?
Right, and objectively, this isn't something that is. It's not like a high class knife. This is something.
It's a good question. That's a good question. Well, let's do the other way, though. The other way is clear, that if it's objectively an expensive item that people do not use for other things because of it, that's machmas atzmo. That's what it is. So in reality, it has no other uses. It's not a situational thing that it doesn't have the usage. In reality, it doesn't have. It doesn't. In the realm of kalim, it doesn't have another use.
Certain type of tool.
It's a certain type of tool. That's its definition, and because of its expense, it's not. It's a tool that's not considered roi for anything else. It's not like you're making up your mind when you buy your shechita knife that I'm not going to let anybody else use it for anything. No, that's part of it. That's part of what it is. It's a reality. So it's not really chazi. It's not really roi for anything else. That's what it seems you have to say, according to Rabbi Shimon. It like has no shame kli. It got to be anything else. Well, right. I'll ask you another question. Let's say you're grossed out by something. But okay, but you'll say that's not a good question, though. You say because other people would use it.
Because what?
You'll say that's not a good comparison because other people will use it. So it's not muktzah if other people use it. But over here, it's yours, and you don't let anybody touch it. And are you maktzah midaite? What if I just look at something and say, you know what? I'm not going to use that thing on Shabbos. Absolutely not. Can you do that?
Doesn't that work?
Does that work? I don't know. I never tried it. What happens to it? Why do you think that would work? Yeah. All right, so really, I mean, this touches on a sugi that we skipped. One sugi we skipped. One little sugi we skipped. It's on the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. Let's take a quick look. I skipped it because, I mean, I think the effect is interesting, but there wasn't much lumdus that I could get out of it. It's a little complicated, the Rashi and Tosfos. But the basic fact is, I guess, is important to know. So it goes like this. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Right, you got it? Mito sheyachto lemoos, osu letaltala. Let's say you have a bed, right? Mita doesn't really mean a full bed. I mean, some sort of a couch type of thing. Some sort of a table platform. I'm not sure what it is. It's not like a mattress like we have. Right? So you designated it for money. Okay? Yeah. So in other words, apparently there were certain, it was like I don't know what it is exactly. Some an ottoman, I don't know. But something that they would sometimes use to hold money. Then you said, this is going to be my money table. This is going to be my money table. Okay? So Rashi says, so what does the Gemara say? He says, it's usur to move it on Shabbos. Can't move it anymore on Shabbos. Rashi says, v'hai Rebbe Yehuda komar lo. I'm sorry, sheyachta lemaos, mitzera b'hazmona ba'alma. Just by designating it, it's muktzah. Okay. V'yafapi shelo hiniach oleha me'ola. So even though I never actually used it yet for the money, I just said, this is going to be my money table. This is where I'm going to keep all my money. Okay, but I never actually placed any money on it yet. So what did I do? I gave it a definition in my mind. I gave it a definition, right? So Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Rav, that bed is usher to move. Okay? Not so simple, though. Meisvei, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, metaltel ner chadash over lo yashan. Rav Nachman says that you can move a new ner, the bowl, right? But not an old one. Okay? But not an old one. Now hold on. Now this is where the Rishonim argue on this, what this Rashi says. What's the implication from this statement? So Rashi learns like this. V'Rabbi Yehuda k'amar lo. This is Rabbi Yehuda. The islay mukta, right? Has to be Rabbi Yehuda because nobody else holds you can't move an old nair. Right? Rabbi Meir doesn't hold from mukta machmas mias, and certainly Rabbi Shimon. So who holds from mukta machmas mias? It's Rabbi Yehuda, right? So Rabbi Yehuda says you can move a nair chadash. Alma lo mitzar b'hazmana. So we can see from here that hazmana doesn't mean anything. Why? How do you see that from here?
The fact that it's a nair.
Well, did you both say the same things? What did you say?
Yeah, the fact that it's a nair shows that the hazmana is for something that's also.
Okay, and what did you say?
A nair is made to burn. It has a hazmana.
Same thing. Okay, that's not what Rashi says. Mida ka'omar of a lo yashan. Since it says you can use a new one, but not an old one. It doesn't say you can be metaltel a new ner, but not a miyuchad ner. Now, all of you Rishonim disagree with Rashi and learn like you're learning, that a ner doesn't need hazmana. Since it's made that way from the factory, and that's what you're buying it for, that's like a hazmana, it's like an automatic hazmana. There's no difference in a ner between buying it and saying, I'm going to use it for a nair. That's what it is. You don't need a hazmana. A bed you need a hazmana for, because a mita could be anything, right? But basically, whatever it is, but basically it comes down to the same point, that hazmana is not enough. It's a stira. Here we say hazmana is not enough. Because how could you use, how could you move a Ner Chodesh if you're going to say Azmana is enough, right? Uma Ner Dilhachi Avida Kilo Hidlik Bo Shari Latil Tula. So if a Ner is not, which is made for burning, as long as you didn't do the Maisa, you can still be, you can still move it. Mita Dilav Lahachi Avida Lo Koshkin. So a bed that is not made for Ma'os, certainly, if you never used it for the, just the being miyached, it is nothing. Right? So the Gemara says, you're right. You're right. Eli'i itmar, hachi itmar. You have to change the original statement. Omar Rav Yehud Omar Rav. Mita sheyachta lema'os, if you are miyached the bed for money, hi niyach oleha ma'os asr l'tatla. If you put money on it, then it's asr. Lo hi niyach oleha ma'os mut l'tatla. But if you didn't put money on it yet, it's mutter. Lo yachta lema'os, but if you never said it's for money at all, right? Yesh oleha ma'os asr l'tatla. If it has money on it, you can't move it because of buses. Ain oleha ma'os mut l'tatla. But if it doesn't have money on it, you can move it. Vehu shelo hayu oleha benish rushes. Because then it's going to be a buses for the whole Shabbos. But anyway, basically, what?
Basically, hazmana doesn't matter.
Hazmana doesn't matter. Hiniach le'amos, afilu b'chol arei hukzo l'isr v'asla tatla, afilu n'stak v'amos mi'od yom, v'lo domi l'ner shal matchas t'shari v'yudu d'hasam b'lo yich yachto. Okay, that's the secondary issue that becomes difficult, according to Rashi and the other Rishonim. What about the, because Rabbi Yehuda allows you to move a ner matchas that was used. So according to Rashi, you're gonna have to say that was a case where there was no, you weren't miyached. But what do you see from here? What do you see from here? It's interesting. Yeah, because it's not ma'os. Used for a different Shabbos. Because it's not ma'os. So what do you see from here? That it really goes by the shame of the kli. It really goes by the shame of the thing. It doesn't go by a personal feelings. It goes by your shame of the kli. Now, you can define a kli, hazmona is not enough. I mean, that's a different sugya in general. What's the realm of hazmona? Designation. Hazmona milsa, hazmona lav milsa. It's not necessarily going to be the same here as there, but the underlying idea is the same. When you need the shame in the cheftza, is your determination enough, or do you have to actualize it? So what about Morris's question? It's a good question. What about the chicken?
According to Rabbi Yehuda.
What does he mean, legadal beitzim? So it means you had to put it in the coop? You had to put it in the coop for that reason. I guess so. There's a funny gemara in beitzim.
According to Rabbi Shimon, it should be closer to a seed. Because then there actually is a physical difference between the object.
No. There's not a physical difference. Hazmana doesn't necessarily mean the thing you did doesn't necessarily mean that it's different, that it's existing differently. But it means that you did an action that indicates your intention is true. But it's just as accessible. Maybe you put it in a different kind of a box. Maybe, but it's still just a. It's still, in reality, it still exists in the same potentials. But that's like, there's a Gemara later on in Beitza that says if you buy a chicken, you see the Gemara later on? It's a funny Gemara. I want to say if you buy a chicken, like stam, right? Then it's like unclear if it's legal Beitza or for achila. And if you shecht it on yantif, then it's like a gile milsa that it was really legal, it was really achila.
Is that the case of Rabbi Gamliel? He bought it from
his
non-Jewish guy?
No. That was the fish. You were thinking of the fish.
Right.
I don't know. I got to take a look at that. That has interesting implications to hear. I mean, that seems to be a question of what fixes the shame of the hazmana. Yeah. But I don't know. But anyway.
You don't want to say that there's any value to chicken that there are.
Well, I think the Gemara says stam chick, a stam animal is legadol, is omed legadol, it's not omed for achila, it's omed for work, not omed for achila. Stam animal is not omed for achila. You know, on a farm, On a farm, you know, that's what they buy the animals for.
What about Paris the scar? Wouldn't those be somewhere? Are you doing anything to the Paris?
I guess so. I guess you put them on the you put them on the in the crate. Put them in your crate. So then it would come out that even Rabbi Yehuda would seem that it still goes by the intrinsic identity in the thing. Hazmana alone does not change its shame. So if I just look at it and I think about it, that doesn't do anything. I look at that that cup and I say, this is worthless to me. This cup is dead to me. Doesn't make a difference. This cup is a flower pot. It doesn't make a difference. Even Rabbi Yehuda takes it out of the personal. Nobody gets. That's why I'm saying you can't get too carried away sometimes. You know, from the way things sound, you can't get too carried away. It always comes down. Halacha is always going to come down to some objective standard. Of course, the objective standard could be up to you subjectively to define. You know, is it a cup? Is it an air? But it has to be come from the shame in the chafza. Oh, so what if it's sentimental value and you put it into a case? Maybe that's good. Maybe that's a hazmana and a maisa.
Even more
Jewish? Doesn't the maisa have the link to the?
All right, so back to so I think that's the question of Reish Lakish. So anyway, so what does Rabbi Yochanan answer him? He gives him a little bit of a confusing answer. He says, "Ein muksul Rabbi Shimon ela shemen shebiner b'sha'a shehu dolek." The only muksa of Rabbi Shimon is oil in the lamp while it is burning. Ho'il v'huksla mitzvaso. Okay, so what does it mean while it's burning? Ain muksa. First of all, what does it mean? Ain muksa, Rabbi Shimon. Well, he definitely holds from Grogos and Smukim, that we know, and he definitely holds from Kli muksa machmos chesrim kis. So that's why Rashi says Ain muksa, Rabbi Shimon bedavar haroy. Now he's saying that Rabbi Shimon was asking him about things that are intrinsically usable, and he wants to know if dechia can aser them, right? Can dechia aser that which is intrinsically usable? So his answer is that in the type of thing that you're asking me about, davar roy, and you want to know can dechia remove it, there's only one type of thing that dechia can remove. That's the shemen shebiner b'shashu dolik. Why? Since it's muktza for its mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of Shabbos. And it's huksa for the iser of kiboy, therefore it's going to be muksa. It's going to be muksa. Now hold on. Now slow down. Let's break this down. What does he really mean? Shemen shebiner b'shashu dolek. So first of all, he clearly is excluding the leftover shemen. That we know for a fact, right? We know for a fact the leftover shemen is mutter. That's most of shemen shebiner. Right. So there's no muktza for Rabbi Shimon by the shemen in total, right? The shemen in total is not muktza, because once the mitzvah is over, and once the iser is over, he definitely agrees there's no muktza, right? So it's only while it's in the dichoy. It's only right. It's only while it's actually in that dichoy. And also the problem is, but while it's burning, how can you use the shemen in the nair? Right, that's what Tosis asks. Go ahead. El shemen shebiner. B-Mac, got it? Memhe?
Yep.
Lav dafka shebiner.
Oh, because it's El shemen shebiner. Lav dafka shebiner. Tavu usr mishum makava.
Right, and he can't mean the oil that's actually in the nair, because that's a different iser. Hamastapik mimenu is chayev mishum mechaba. That definitely, that's just a stam iser. It's not a muktza.
You know, one of the parent days debates on stam mimenu chayev mishum mechaba.
Ella Hamatav has been there.
So that's the oil he's talking about. He says, the shemen, the only muksa for Rabbi Shimon, is the oil that drips out of the nair while the nair is burning. Why is that muksa? Now he's trying to explain what? What's Tosfos trying to explain over here? Why you need mitzvah and iser? What's he trying to explain over here? Just because of mitzvah, just because of muktzah l'mitzvah, so what's he trying to explain? It wouldn't be usur to move the nair. Let's say I have a nair that's, let's say I just hold from muktzah machmas mitzvah, right? Can I move the Shabbos candle? Is there any iser from the muktzah machmas mitzvah to move a Shabbos candle? No, why not? It's not interfering with the mitzvah. An esrog is huksel mitzvah. You certainly can move it, right? So from the moving of it, in terms of moving the nair, that has nothing to do with the muktzah of mitzvah. Ella what? Okay. So what's Tosas doing over there? Just what's he doing? Does anybody know what he's doing with that little that line? He's trying to pinpoint what the iser that Rabbi Shimon is talking about, right? He's looking for an iser that comes because of mitzvah. He's looking for something that's going to be usur, that from the standpoint of muktzah, from a muktzah standpoint. No. So he's saying, what is he talking about? What is he talking about? He can't be talking about taking the oil out, because that's mechaba. And he's also not talking about moving the nair. He's not talking about that type. That's not the muktzah. The isurim, he's trying to negate, he's trying to pinpoint the exact case that Rabbi Shimon is talking about. So he's saying he's not talking about using the shemen that's in the nair, because that's not a muktzah issue. That's a mechaba issue. And there's nothing in terms of the mitzvah that would prevent you from moving the nair. So he's not talking about using the shemen, and he's not talking about, that's busus. That's a separate reason, because it's a busus of davar aser. So when he says, ein l'Rabbi Shimon muktzah, ein muktzah l'Rabbi Shimon el shemen shebenei b'shashu dolek, so Tosfos is explaining, he's not talking about using the shemen from the nair, he's not talking about moving the entire thing. Neither one of those come under this iser of muktzah. Because the taking of the oil would be mechabe, would be extinguishing. And the moving of it has nothing to do with the mitzvah. So the only thing he's talking about is the oil that comes out while it's burning. What does that have to do with anything, though? Okay.
that oil is
huksel mitzvah.
That's right.
Well, you can see how it's huksel mitzvah.
Okay, so we see how it's huksel mitzvah. We see how it's huksel mitzvah. But the problem is, it's no longer involved in the mitzvah. In other words, when all the oil was the huksel mitzvah. All the oil was huksel iser.
You couldn't take it out because of the chalim.
Right. So the question is like this. According to this Tosfos and according to this Gemara, the Gemara is assuming that it's because of both of them, right? Huksa l'mitzvah and huksa l'iser. But if we're only one, you could use the shemen that pops out. Right? You could definitely use the shemen that pops out. Okay. So let's take iser. Let's take iser. Why would it be okay in terms of huksel iser? Because Rabbi Shimon doesn't really hold from huksel iser. Right? He doesn't hold from huksel iser. He holds that you put the oil in. You don't say migu diskatsoy l'ben shmos diskatsoy l'kol l'yoma. And we say that the guy basically had das. Somehow he had das on the shemen. So as long as the iser is removed, there's no muktzah at all. No, there's really no muktzah at all of iser, according to Rabbi Shimon. Right? There's really no muktzah at all of iser. in the Shemin case, right? Because he basically has das on the Shemin that is still usable. He's Yoshiv Mitzape. And what? He's Yoshiv Mitzape. So it's just while it's usher, he can't use it. But when the fire goes out, there's no difference between the fire going out and oil separating itself from the fire. In either case, as long as he's not encountering Isser, he can use the Shemin, because there is no chukza of Isser, right? Okay, but the question is like this. What about the chukza of mitzvah? Why don't you say the same thing? Why don't you say that if this ner would go out early, you could use the leftover oil, right? You could use all that leftover oil, even though it was chukza l'mitzvah. So what's the difference if it went out or if it separated itself from the ner? In either case, this is shemen that's not involved in the mitzvah.
Look at the chafetz again and reevaluate.
All right, so one thing we could say is clearly that when we say something is chukza l'mitzvah, it doesn't mean only while it's participating in the mitzvah that it's chukza l'mitzvah. It doesn't mean the iser of a chukza, of using something that's chukza l'mitzvah, is not limited to the actuality of the mitzvah being used by this substance, right? It's not an idea of removing it from its participation in the mitzvah. It's not an iser of removing it from being used by the mitzvah. Because this shemen that's metaftef can never be used by this mitzvah again. You can't put it back in the ner. And you're not planning on putting it back next Shabbos, because once the ner goes out, it's mutter completely. So once the oil drips out of this ner, it's no longer involved in the mitzvah at all. Right? So the chukza l'mitzvah can't be coming from its involvement in the mitzvah, because it's not involved in the mitzvah. It's not involved in the mitzvah. Unless you want to do some mental gymnastics. Jonah, are you doing mental gymnastics?
No.
Okay. So then what's the chukza l'mitzvah? It has to do with its original designation. Right?
It's the shemen of the mitzvah.
It's the shemen of the mitzvah. So I was makzeh what? I was makzeh. But then the problem is, so if it goes out, why is it mutter? Just because it goes out, why is it mutter? I was makza all of the shemen. Right? Wasn't I makza all of the shemen for mitzvah? So what were you trying to say, Yehuda? Good. Based on the last Rashi over there.
Right. That the mitzvah doesn't even exist.
Yeah. So Rashi explained that what? That when you say it's muktzah l'mitzvah, it's muktzah machmas mitzvah, so what does it mean? It means that it's a dichoy. Does they use the word dichoy? The other Rishonim use the word dichoy. It's a dichoy. You're designating, you're excluding from your usage this ner, this shemen, for what? For how long?
Until it goes in.
For the zman of the mitzvah, right? For the zman of the mitzvah? For the zman of the mitzvah. But all of the shemen, that's the initial haktzah. The shemen is huktzah right now. All the shemen is huktzah right now for the duration, for as long as this mitzvah exists. In other words, as long as the... that's why it says when the shemen comes out, it still is under its original haktzah. It still is under the original haktzah. But when the ner goes out, then there's no more existence to the mitzvah at all. So the ner going out is really not that the shemen is not participating in the mitzvah anymore. That's what was bothering us. If it's mutter to use the shemen when the ner goes out, that seems to be because the mitzvah is not participating in the mitzvah anymore. Right, but the shemen that drips out is also not participating in the mitzvah anymore. So what's the difference, right? But the answer is when the ner goes out, When the fire goes out, it's not that the shemen is not participating in the mitzvah anymore. That's not. That's the end of its haktzah. That was its initial designation for the duration of the mitzvah. But there's no fixed duration of this mitzvah. It's not like sukkahs that has a fixed duration of 7 days. This one, the mitzvah exists as long as it's dolik. So the haktzah is totally on the presence of the mitzvah. The haktzah is dependent on the existence of the mitzvah. But when the mitzvah, when the ner goes out, there's no more mitzvah of ner Shabbos anymore. So then all of the shemen has reached the end of its haktzah. Right, and that's why the Ramban, or what was it, the Ran, he wants to say that's why Reish Lakish took this, that's why Rabbi Yochanan took this case. Because he wanted to show him that the shemen that comes out of the ner is just like the Zroim. Right, why? Because right now it's really Roy. Except for its Dichoy that it was in. Except for the original Dichoy that it was put into. You understand? He wants to say they're comparable cases. The Zroim and the Shemen that drips out is really, they really are conceptually comparable cases. Why? Because they're both things that are intrinsically Roy. It's just Shemen. There's no Isser involved. The Shemen that dripped out has no restrictions, no halachic restrictions on using it. Right? Aside for this Muksa question. You always have to think about it without Muksa. It has no restrictions on its use. Right? It's just Shemen. It's not like the Shemen in the Nair. The Shemen in the Nair is also because of Kiboy. But this stuff dripped out already. There's no chance of Kiboy anymore. Right? So, but what? It still presently exists in the Dichoy that I established it under, which was dedicated to mitzvah. That original dedication is just a designation I give to all the shemen. And it's a permanent designation for the duration of the designation itself. This designation exists how long? As long as it's shayach to there being a mitzvah. As long as the duration of the mitzvah itself. So while it's dolek, this is really something that intrinsically is roy, right? Ein muktzah l'Rabbi Shimon b'davar ha-roy. So the shemen is really roy, correct? Just like the zroim are roy. And your question was, is there ever a muktzah by a davar ha-roy from a dichoy? He says, there is, but this is the only one. This dichoy is the only one. What is this dichoy? It's a dichoy right now, we think, of mitzvah and iser. Okay? It's a dichoy of mitzvah and iser. But your dichoy is not enough. Okay.
Why are they both similar? They're not roy, they're similar.
Yeah, they are roy.
The shaman is right here. You don't even do anything to it. In its present situation, it's presently in actuality, it's roy.
It's roy because it's even better, you mean?
Yeah. No, it's not better. It's right now, you can't do anything to it right now because it has you'd be mechala.
No, he's talking about the stuff that drips out. The shaman that drips out.
It's an actuality of roy. It's just that
Zarin, there's no present actuality to the Tashmish. Let me hear the Ron. Does Ron have it like I'm saying or no? Alright, but anyway, so just a minute. So what do you say? So what's the Hava mean that you need both? Why would you need both? Why would you need both? Mitzvah and Isser. Why would you need Mitzvah and Isser? Right, that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, what? The Gemara right now is assuming that just because of Huxel and Mitzvah wouldn't be enough. Right? So let me just ask you conceptually, what is it? What is it? Which one is the main? Is there a main one and a supplemental one?
Sounds like Huxel
the Mitzvah is the main one, correct.
Is that the one that the Gemara like winds up?
I guess the Gemara is really talking about.
Because we really hope, we know he doesn't hold from Huxilis at all. Huxil and Mitzvah is the main one. And the Gemara wants to know, are you saying that Rabbi Shimon only holds from a Huxil and Mitzvah when there's an Issa? Doesn't he just hold from a Huxil and Mitzvah? Right, that's the question. So what would a Huxil and Mitzvah with or without an Issa be different? How would it be different with or without an Issa? The Huxil and Mitzvah, right? The Havamina thought that Rabbi Yochanan was saying, Huxil and Mitzvah alone is not enough. It's a Huxil and Mitzvah that also has an Isser. What's the Isser? Kibui. But just Huxil and Mitzvah is not enough. Right. See, this is the Ritva. It's confusing who's who here. It depends on who the publisher is. But this is the old Ritvas. Not Moshe Rav Kook. He says, Vim Toma, Vare Moda Begrogros with Smukim. So what do you mean that Rabbi Shimon only has this mukta? What do you mean Rabbi Shimon only has this mukta? He has grogos and smukim. Visu lekaman d'boy minei me Rabbi. Okay, fine. So he says like this. Yesh lomar d'hocha amrinan ke'ein she'el tanu. He's giving him an answer like his question. That's interesting. This is a little different. This is not the right one that I was thinking of. Hold on. He's saying a different point, saying that maybe the guy thought initially it was going to take root. One second. So maybe this is. Yeah, this. Okay, this is. I'm sorry, it was the Ron. Well, it's still confusing. It's the Ron or the Ritva. I think this is the old Ritva, really. He said like this: Lav Shemen Shebener Ko'omar. Right. Okay, fine. He said like this. It can't be the Shemen itself, because it's also referred to because of Kiboy. Elamina Shemen Amatafteif Beochu Dole Karminan. Dimitzar Mishum de Huxul Mitzvaso. Dainu calls Manchiner Dolek. Right? So as long as it's Dolek, why is it Mukta? Because of the mitzvah that you established it for. Sha'afo Pi Shazep Piresh Mimenu, even though it already separated from it. Adayin hu b'dichuyav, it's still in its dichuy, calls man mitzvaso, right? Like Yehuda was saying, as long as the time of the mitzvah is, it's in that dichuy of mitzvah. U'mishum hachi medami le'lechitim shazaram b'karka, she'omdim adayin b'dichuyan. That's why he compared it to the chitim. He wanted to take another case that the thing is presently in a dichuy, and that's what's responsible for its haksa. Saying the only type of muktza that comes from a dichui is this. Anything else, we disregard any dichui. That's what we want to say. We disregard all dichuyin except for this one. But dichui is only operative when essentially the thing is usable. You don't call it a dichui if the thing intrinsically is not usable. Right? That's what he's trying to focus on. He's saying the only dichui we accept for Rabbi Shimon is a dichui of mitzvah. Right? It's good. I think it's good. Okay, but anyway, so what does mitzvah and isser add? What does mitzvah and isser add? Yeah? Correct. Right. In other words, Johnny's right again. It's a simple answer, really. The answer is, like we were saying before, like we were saying with the chitam. They thought that he meant that really it's the dichui of the mitzvah. That is, it's the shame mitzvah that creates the dichui. Right? The shame mitzvah in the situation of mitzvah is what removes it from your other usages. So once I designate it under the usage of mitzvah, then it's no longer existing in a situation where it has other potentials, where it has other uses, I should say, right? It has no other uses while it's in the situation of mitzvah. But the Gemara thought that Rabbi Yochanan was saying that you have a right to change your mind. You understand? You have a right to change your mind, just like the chitim in the ground. That you have, that when they're in the ground, they're not available for other uses. But I have a right to pull them out of the ground. The Gemara thought that Rabbi Yochanan was saying, it's the shame mitzvah. The shame mitzvah is really what creates the dichoy, right? But if it's a shame mitzvah that I can undo, then it's not fully, then it doesn't fully have the shame mitzvah. As long as it has the potential to be undone, the shame mitzvah itself is not a problem. So the isser in this case has to be added. What does the isser do? It means like this. Now that I'm lighting my Ner Shabbos, so Ner Shabbos is a mitzvah. But the Gemara thought that Rabbi Shimon held, you have to realize this, the Gemara thought Rabbi Shimon held that the Haktzo'ah of mitzvah is not permanent. It's not a full relinquishment. You don't fully relinquish your rights when you're makzeh to mitzvah. In other words, he doesn't really hold from huksel mitzvah. That's what the Gemara is. The premise of this Gemara is saying that in order to have a full huksel mitzvah, meaning what? What does a full huksel mitzvah mean? Permanent. Right? Meaning a complete relinquishment of my rights to the mitzvah can only happen by Ner Shabbos. Why? Because intrinsically I can dedicate it to a mitzvah and then undo it if I want. Let's say the Ner Shabbos existed, let's say it was Ner Chanukah. The Gemara thought, maybe Rabbi Shimon is holding. Are you saying that Rabbi Shimon is holding when I light a Ner Shel Mitzvah, I still have the option to remove it? If it wasn't for Kibui, I'd have the option to siphon off the oil? That's what the Gemara was assuming. That's why you needed Isser on top of it. Why do you need Isser on top of it? You need the Isser on top of it to make the Haktzo'ah of the mitzvah legamri. You understand? In other words, like this. Isser is not a Haktzo'ah he holds. The fact that it's Asser is not a Haktzo'ah at all. That's not a haktzah at all. Mitzvah has the potential to be a haktzah because it is a positive status. And I am relinquishing my the object to an identity of mitzvah. The only thing is, the Gemara thought that Rabbi Yochanan was saying that unless there's an isser involved in removing it from the, unless there's a different isser involved in removing it from the mitzvah, then the haktzah of mitzvah is never complete. So it's two steps. It will be two steps. I am designating it as an entity of mitzvah, and now something else makes that decision permanent. But the Gemara says that means to say that the decision alone of making something the mitzvah on its own terms is not permanent? You mean to say that Rabbi Shimon doesn't really hold from huksel mitzvah? Right? That's exactly what the Gemara's question is. I don't think anybody ever really thought Rabbi Shimon held this way. It was a misunderstanding of Rabbi Yochanan, but it is a possibility. It is a possibility. In logic, it's a possibility. Logically, it's a possibility that maybe the only way to have a muktza is if something is completely and totally dedicated to mitzvah. The only thing is, he holds that your decision to make something for mitzvah can always be undone. So there'd have to be a situation where because of some other reason it can't be undone. So that's what Ner Shabbos is. I decide to light the Ner Shabbos, so I'm saying the Shemen is for a mitzvah of Shabbos. And once Shabbos starts, now there's an extraneous Isser of Kibui. So in my mind, that original Haktzah, in reality, that original Haktzah was total and complete. But if there were a Ner Shabbos not on Shabbos, so the Haktzah would not be complete. Because I could be makzit for the Ner Shabbos, I could be makzit for the mitzvah, but according to Rabbi Shimon, there's nothing that prevents me from siphoning off some of the oil later. Right? because the I can change the Haktza. I can undo that Haktza. It's not complete. Yeah.
So if it was not Hutsa for a mitzvah specifically, but it was Hutsa for something, and there's mitzvah involved, then he would hold it's fine. Like why
if what? If what?
I guess my question is why is mitzvah the only thing which could be considered?
Because Isser is not a Haktzah to something. There's no Haktzah to Isser. Right? Isser is just interfering.
Like if I have a Shita, that I can't break apart because of Isser.
Enachanami. That's what Rabbi Shimon holds. Rabbi Shimon holds, if I had a sukkah that is very strong and Shabbos starts, and in my mind, I will not be able to use it at all, right? I have no das in ever using it. Now, the only problem with Isser is, according to Rabbi Shimon, that I don't think I'm going to be able to use it.
So why is it specifically hooked to the mitzvah?
Because mitzvah is a positive thing. Now, Isser is not, Isser, according to Rabbi Shimon, is just something that makes me think I can't. Is something that makes me think I can't use it later, right? But mitzvah is a real kedusha and a real designation.
But it could be any positive thing. Could be any positive designation.
Could it be any positive designation?
Like what's another example?
Like the shader.
No, that's not a positive designation, because that's in my reshus. What's the reality of a Sheda? Now, the question is, when the Gemara asks next, and Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold from Huxla Mitzvah, what do you mean? He just said it's Huxla Mitzvah and Isser, right? So he only holds a Huxla Mitzvah when there's Isser? How does Isser make something a Huxla Mitzvah, right? How does Isser make something a Huxla Mitzvah? So the means say like this, that Rabbi Shimon agrees, the Havmin was that Rabbi Shimon holds that if I give it a complete designation of mitzvah, right, then that really changes it as a, then that's a complete designation that removes it from any utility. But he held, you need, on its own terms, that designation is still just a matter of my choice. In general, when I decide that this will be used for a mitzvah, that still is an expression of my choice. And I still have the ability to change my mind. It's just a choice that I'm using. I'm just choosing to use it l'shem mitzvah. But choosing to use something l'shem mitzvah does not on its own terms remove it from my reshus. It doesn't now exist in a separate reshus shel mitzvah. It's not like a disowning of the thing to a separate reshus of mitzvah. That was the Havmin. So then the only way that the shame mitzvah, the only way that the designation of mitzvah would be complete is if it's permanent from a different reason, from Isser. Now, Rabbi Shimon agrees if I'm maktzah, even in the Havamina, he agrees if I'm maktzah something with shame mitzvah, there is some idea that the object is designated the mitzvah. The only thing is he holds that the designation of mitzvah is not permanent. It's still under my control. I still have rights to undo it. Right? So the mitzvah would be like in the ground. The mitzvah would be like this, the chitim in the ground. Yeah, while they're... the idea of the mitzvah is connected the other usages. But I can simply change my mind about everything and say, no, it's no longer for mitzvah. Right? So the haktzah le mitzvah has to be permanent. Only via Isser it's going to be permanent. That's the Gemara's question. You mean to say that Rabbi Shimon holds in general, when I'm maktzah something to a mitzvah, I have a right to use it? I have a right to undo it? I can be sosa the sukkah? Is that what you're telling me? Right? So it shows you, no, it can't be. That can't be. We know for sure Rabbi Shimon holds haktzah the mitzvah is haktzah. But that's what he's trying to show you. The only type of a dichoy that is usser is a dichoy that when you put it into, you're relinquishing your rights from it. Right?
Why not Isser? Why does it need to be a positive designation in order to relinquish your rights from it?
In other words, the mitzvah and the isser work in different directions, according to Rabbi Shimon. There's no such thing as being maktzeh le-isser. It's muktzeh, what? Machmas isser. It's machmas isser. That's the only idea of haktzeh of isser. That because of isser, I think, because of isser makes it not usable. And therefore, it's going to be permanently not usable. That's only if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that it has to actually be usable when Shabbos starts. But according to Rabbi Shimon, it just has to be ro'oi. It has to be chazi for usage. So as long as the iser is not of the sort that removes its usage over Shabbos, there's no muktzah machmas iser. The iser is just a reason why I remove the iser is just a cause why I think it won't be usable, right? Why am I? It's like an interpretation of my maisa. Am I taking this and removing it from my usage for the whole Shabbos by doing this iser, by putting it into the situation of iser? Well, the answer depends. If it's an iser that I think will blot out all the usage, then yes. But if it's an issue that's only a temporary blockage, then no, right? But it's only machmas. It's only a question of how will the issue interfere with my usage. So that goes back to the dichoy, like we were saying by the nair. Since I know the nair will definitely be usable, so the dichoy, when I'm submitting this whole unit to the situation of the nair of the iser of the nair, it's not a complete relinquishment. But by mitzvah, it's different. The muktzah by mitzvah has nothing to do with iser. It has to do with a shame that it has, a designation that it has, a kedusha that it has. You understand? It has to do with the kedusha that it has, which is a reality. It has nothing to do with, it's not like Shabbos and Isser. The Isser creates a muktzah on Shabbos because it makes it something that I think I can't use because of the Isser. The mitzvah is muktzah because in reality, while it has the shame mitzvah, it halachically is not usable. It's not in your rishus. Exactly. It's not in your rishus. That's why Tosis has to answer the Moser Shemin Shebenir. Why don't you say it also is considered hooks and limits for the whole time? There's no question by Isser, it's obvious why you can use the Moser Shemin. In terms of Isser, it's obvious why you can use the Moser Shemin. But in terms of mitzvah, it's not so obvious. Maybe it still exists with the shame shell mitzvah. It certainly doesn't exist with the Isser after it goes out. But maybe it still exists with the shame of mitzvah. You understand? The difference is like this. You have to understand this carefully. The huktzah of mitzvah has nothing to do with Shabbos. The huktzah of mitzvah has nothing to do with Shabbos. The huktzah of iser has everything to do with Shabbos. Right? I mean, basically, Rabbi Yochanan was taking a case and saying what? That as long as in halachic reality it's ro'i to use, as long as halachically it's ro'i to use on Shabbos, then it's not muktzah kon Rabbi Shimon. So he says the only thing, so he showed you the only muktzah kon Rabbi Shimon is something that what? It really is a strange answer. I mean, the more you think about Rabbi Yochanan's answer, the stranger it becomes. Right? Because it really has nothing to do with muktzah. It really has very little to do with muktzah. Right? He's just basically telling you that Rabbi Shimon holds from muktzah machmas huktzah le-mitzvah, which is not really a Shabbos concept. Right? Huh?
But he only holds to that.
That's all you can say, le-say
muktzah. But he means to say, right, he means to say, but after it goes out, you don't, even by that, you don't say that after it goes out, it's going to remain usher. Even though, but that's no different than in Isser, really. Yep, I mean, it is a strange answer. Rabbi Yochanan's answer is a strange answer. But he's showing you, notice he's saying dichoy alone doesn't do anything. It has to be a dichoy that has a halachic reality. Like le mitzvah. And not just I decide I want to do something.
Well,
it has to be a reality that prevents your... I mean, it's not really muktzah anymore, no? Well, it's a muktzah. It's really a muktzah. It's really a muktzah. In the end of the Gemara, what does the Gemara say? It's completely hooks le mitzvah is the reason. It has nothing to do with Isser. Right, Isser doesn't play any role in this akta. So why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say Rabbi Shimon holds you can't take the schach out of the sukkah and cholamoid? It'd be the same thing.